further ado, let's get to the phone lines and welcome our man to talk hockey. TSN hockey insider Dave Poulin joins us this morning, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Terrific, JR, and I appreciate the soccer update very much.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You get so captivated by these stories, and the women's soccer team is certainly one of them, and it's just fun to watch.
Yeah, it is. Is Dave Poulin a dyed-in-the-wool Olympic fan? Like, are you in there front to back or an occasional viewer?
You know, not initially. When I was down at Notre Dame, we had a number of athletes who were part of the Olympics over the years, and so you get attracted to it for certain events, and we had a really good women's soccer team, and they're, you know, and they had a great run on that U.S. side, and so a lot of the athletes hung out together, and we went to women's soccer games all the time, and there were 3,000 people at their games, and they ended up being national championships through that course, and they, you know, North Carolina was the big powerhouse, but they sent a number of kids to the Olympics. So when you have kind of a personal connection to it, you get attracted to it, and then that opens it up. But each year, you kind of start off tepidly for me, and then I'm totally engrossed at some point, you know.
All right, good stuff. Let's get to the hockey stuff. And, well, listen, today is the buyout deadline at 5 o'clock. We'll probably see a few players get bought out today. Yesterday was qualifying offers. Tomorrow is free agency. And we want to start here in Ottawa with the discussion we had last hour about what's going to happen with Brady Tkachuk, because that is the biggest storyline in the offseason for the Ottawa Senators, no doubt about that. Will he be signed? If he is signed, will it be sooner rather than later? I'm just asking you on a gut feel. Maybe you've got inside information. On a gut feel, do you feel like a Tkachuk contract is coming sooner or later, as in closer to the beginning of training camp here in Ottawa?
Let's look at it from both sides, JR. And, you know, let's start from the player's side. Right now, you know, you have a pretty good model to follow, and that happens to be your brother. And, you know, I mean, you've got a model a couple of years ahead. And every player's different and every situation's different. But in this case, how unique is that to be able to have someone just ahead of you, not only just ahead of you, but a similar type of player, and even a similar position, and in a Canadian market. And Matthew opted for a three-year bridge deal. And at a number then, this was pre-pandemic, at a $7 million number. And the biggest question is how much money's in the market. And I like the bridge deal for every reason coming out of the entry-level deal. And it's a little bit of the player betting on himself and saying, okay, you know, if you don't want to lock me up for 8 years, and then I'm more than willing to gamble on myself and go for 3 years. But I like it from the team standpoint too. I think the second contract is really important for an organization to be able to structure things. And we've watched firsthand organizations that have stepped right from entry-level deals into massive, massive long-term deals, have put themselves in a tough situation. And that's the case right here in Toronto. And because they've stepped into these massive deals, it restricts what else you can do. So I think from every standpoint, put the pandemic aside, I think the second contract is really, really important in the National Hockey League. And it's something that teams have lost, because not only going from the entry-level deal right to the massive home run, but a lot of teams were doing it after 2 years, as soon as you can negotiate on July 1st. So now you have 2 years of track record, and you're going to these massive deals. And it's just so restrictive of what else you can do. And I think that Brady Tkachuk is a player who's confident in his own ability, who, you know, is sure of himself and would bet on the fact that, yeah, I've had a nice start to my NHL career, but what happens when I'm playing with better players now? And they're putting all of these better players around me, and my team is going to be better, and my role is going to be increased. So I see a bridge contract of some sort, and, you know, likely 3 years. And what that lets it do from a player's standpoint and a team standpoint is let their get more revenue and more money back into the marketplace. Because I'd way rather negotiate a contract, by all accounts, in 3 years than I would in today's market.
Dave, we also talked last segment about the fact that Sens owner Eugene Melnyk said that the next captain won't be on a bridge deal. If Brady Tkachuk signs that three-year bridge deal, what's the likelihood that you see him being the next captain of the Ottawa Senators?
Well, Michaela, I think that's an interesting comment to make, because why would you make it? You know, if you have a situation that says in both parties' interest, a bridge deal makes total sense, but he is our captain, then I don't see those things as being separated. I really don't. And, you know, so if it's principle that you're not going to do it on the thought that you may lose him and you want him longer, then you're saying you're going to step up and make it a long-term deal if that, in fact, is your captain. So I'm not sure why you would introduce that topic to that negotiation. Just, it's a factor that doesn't have to be included in it, because the best interests of both parties can be aligned, but a bridge contract might make most sense. So, you know, I saw that, and it sort of intrigued me that, you know, sometimes the more variables that are introduced to negotiation, the more complicated it gets. And I don't see that as being part of the negotiation.
You mentioned that Brady's brother, Matthew, when he signed in Calgary, a three-year deal. Davey was Matthew was like a 50-point guy, a 50-point guy. And then in the third year, he was a 77 or, you know, almost a point-a-game player and was able to negotiate off of that contract. Brady Tkachuk has been pretty consistently a 20 to 25 goal and prorated. I mean, these last 2 years have been shorter, but between 50 and 55 points or thereabouts. He doesn't have that breakthrough offensive year. But you and I and everybody knows that watches him, he brings so many intangibles to the table, plus the fact of, you know, kind of where Ottawa is right now. He's such a key piece. Like, how do you think this he's you know, the term unicorn comes in because he's such a unique player. Like, how would you go about negotiating if you were Pierre Dorion with Brady Tkachuk's agents, because it's not just all about numbers with him?
Well, it really isn't. He brings such an element, and he also didn't have the advantage over those years of playing with, you know, a more established Johnny Gaudreau or Sean Monahan at times. And, you know, I mean, Matthew was put in a pretty good situation with those players, albeit on the power play or whatever line combination he was on, or even if the fact that he didn't get the matchups because those two guys were on the ice against the other team's top D pairing, whereas Brady has seen the best matchups the whole way through. But it's all part of the negotiating process, and those elements are very, very important. And it's interesting, when you introduce that element that you just introduced, JR, you might say, well, isn't that one of the reasons they drafted Tyler Boucher? Because they said the same thing about, you know, what they were looking for in a player, and they used the number 10 pick in the draft to maybe step ahead of where the player was ranked, you know, statistically, but said, but he brings some elements that we want are important. So the team has already designated that those are really important elements. And I do think they have a monetary value. I really do. The question now is the market itself. You know, it may not merit a $7 million number simply on the pure market standpoint, and said, you know, now it's not a cap situation with Ottawa, but it is a revenue and market situation. And, you know, and for a lot of teams, even as the Canadian teams, you know, that were still in the playoffs, take a Montreal wound down, and revenue is so important in the playoffs, and watching 3,500 in their building and then going into an 18,000 seat building that's full in Tampa and watching the different revenue streams for those two teams, you know, doesn't make an owner very happy. But, you know, the numbers are going to be, I think, intriguing this year in terms of pure dollar numbers. We saw the big one with Seth Jones, but I think they're going to be really limited. I really do. I think they're going to be, you know, look at Taylor Hall, you know, a Hart Trophy winner, and him taking a four-year deal at $6 million, you know, at this stage. So I think the numbers are going to work themselves out, but I do think they're going to be lower overall.
Heading into NHL free agency tomorrow, Dave, how busy do you see the Sens being, and what areas should they be focusing on?
Well, I think maybe a little more targeted, Michaela, and I say that because I like the upside of, you know, some of the players they have, and I like letting them develop in those roles. So take a Josh Norris, and we've chatted about this a little bit in the past with the Shane Pinto and a question of his development. But I'd be more targeting another player to fit in below them. I brought up Andrew Kopp's name last week as, you know, a perfect type of player. You know, another free agent. And these guys are going to garner lots of attention on the market because of the roles they've played, these types of players, in the last, you know, few runs in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But a Casey Cizikas at 30 years old and Andrew Kopp at 26 years old. I mean, maybe a Yoel Armia at 28 years old, who come in and play a significant role for the team, but don't take the power play minutes away from a developing player, and it's a developing team, but can be a really good, you know, leader and really good all-around player. A player that interests me a great deal, and maybe this is a little bit of a hybrid role, is Alexander Wennberg. You know, he's only 26 years old. He had 17 goals this year, And he's also got the benefit of 5 more years on a buyout from Columbus. So maybe he takes a little bit less money on his next contract. And, you know, he's just had a kind of a strange year. He had the one really big year in Columbus as a young player, and that got him the big contract, and then never lived up to it, and had a 2-goal year 1 year. But he bounced back last year in a good situation in Florida with 17. So I think there's some players out there that you can look at. Danton Heinen, another one. You know, what's happened? Why has he fell off the map from the big year he had in Boston as a 23-year-old? And, you know, he's on the market again at 26 years old. So I'd be looking a little bit more at past the first layer, maybe not, you know, a top six player, but a player that can come in and play a really important third line role.
I'll ask the elephant in the room question we always ask on the eve of free agency. Are we going to see an offer sheet this year?
I don't think so. I really don't. That would surprise me. You know, the one to Sebastian Aho from Montreal made a lot of sense. And I think that was a test of the ownership group in Carolina as much as it was a test of the player. Obviously, the player signed the offer sheet. But it kept them at a layer just below where it would have really affected them draft-wise. And by front-end loading it, they were challenging sort of the comments coming out of Carolina that money was an issue for the new owner. And the owner immediately stepped up and said, no, money's no issue for me. I have lots of money. It's just how I choose to spend it, and I will choose to match this immediately. And I think that was the intent in Montreal, to see if he would step up on the front-end signing bonuses. And he did right away. And so I think that was a little bit of a unique situation. I don't think we're going to see one. I really don't. And in a compressed market, when it might be the best time to do it, I just think that works on both sides. The team offering is in the same compressed market as the team that would be hit by it.
I think when we think about offer sheets, Dave, we always think about the massive one for the star player. And I've always been, and look, I've not worked in the industry you have, and whether there's, you know, a gentleman's agreement not to use them or whatever, I always think that next layer of players for a team that's really up against it is really the player to target. And again, I'll go back to Tampa, and it's I don't think, well, they don't have a Chernek and Point situation like they did last year. They've got a couple of really nice, like Ross Colton, the guy that came in, right? He's a restricted free agent. If you like that player and you can move him and move him into whatever the number, $1.5 million or $2 million, where Tampa's going, well, we still got to get rid of a pile of, we're still over the cap and we don't even have enough players for next year. Like, do teams just, is it star player or bust as far as offer sheets go?
No, it isn't. And I'm thinking of one Bobby Clark made for a very young Ryan Kesler out in Vancouver. And, you know, it was a very practical one. I think it was in the, you know, the $1.5 to $1.7 million range coming right out of an entry-level deal for the exact same reasons that you speak about. So there is a lot of work done on it. And I think everyone fears retribution, right? Everyone fears, well, I'm going to be in that situation. It's going to come back to haunt me. But I understand your logic, and I really like your logic. And those are the players that I'm looking for, but I'm looking at them more in the free agent market, that next, you know, who that next tier of player might be away from those really high-end guys. And I think there's a lot of, I think you've got to look at it from a trade standpoint too, though, JR, not just from a free agent standpoint. And, you know, there was a nice trade made last night in this little gap time. And I always like gap time. So, you know, the draft ends on Saturday and everybody's gearing up for free agency on Wednesday. Well, what does Winnipeg do? Sneaks out and gets a pretty good veteran defenseman in Brendan Dillon for 2 draft picks. And the reason that's a gap time is because those draft picks don't kick in until next year and the following year. And so it doesn't tie to this year's draft. And I think that's a nice, you know, and they made 2 nice moves. I thought they secured Paul Stastny's services for next year at a really good rate, and they got Brendan Dillon. So they may be doing a little bit of a Montreal load-up type of situation tied to the age of, you know, Blake Wheeler at 34 years old and their captain. Their next tier of guys is Scheifele at 28. So you might look for Winnipeg to look to load up as well, but it's that tier of player that's just below the high end that you're talking about. I don't see it as an offer sheet. I see it more as a trade value.
I'll ask the other elephant in the room question. Where do you see Dougie Hamilton ending up?
Boy, oh boy. I think this one goes back to Carolina. I just do. I think it's a situation where they challenged him. He said, here's what I can get in the market. And they challenged him to go out and find it. And he's been out in the market, and I'm not sure he sees, you know, numbers that he would prefer. And so maybe it's a lifestyle situation where he says, you know, I've had a lot of success in Carolina. I see him going back to Carolina because he's tested the market, and the market, you know, didn't secure what he thought was out there for him.
He certainly is an analytics darling. There's no disputing the statistics as well. Are you a 100% believer in Dougie Hamilton as a number one defenseman?
I'm not. I'm not, JR. You know, I see the qualities. I see the numbers. I see it, but I don't have him in that top tier. You know, I'm a huge Seth Jones guy. I just don't have him in that tier. And if those are the numbers that he's looking for, and that's excessive in Chicago. Chicago, that was a statement contract for them on coming off of losing Duncan Keith and Brett Seabrook last year because of injury and sort of the changeover of that team, and particularly at the defense position. So I don't see him as that absolute top tier. Not for me. And, you know, if I'm going to pay a guy that, I'm looking for, I guess, more of an all-around guy, and I see him as a little more of an offensive guy.
Dave, we've heard a lot about the Leafs goaltender situation, and apparently there's interest in Peter Mrazek and Darcy Kemper. What do you see the Leafs doing at the goaltender position?
It'll be a critical question for them, Michaela, because they have to do something. I mean, they can't, you know, Jack Campbell, you know, as well as he played last year, hasn't been a number one guy in the NHL in a full season. And that's a huge responsibility. And so Kemper, you know, you mentioned Kemper, but Kemper would be a trade. And, you know, he still has a contract left with Arizona. And it does look like Arizona is moving anybody that you are interested in. You know, another money deal they've made. So that's four big, big deals they've made contract-wise, bringing money back and, you know, just tearing apart their team as it stands. But in Toronto, they need to support Jack Campbell, and I think they're waiting, and it's a dangerous game to see what interest there is in Freddie Anderson when the clock strikes noon tomorrow to see if he would be their first choice to bring him back. He's a popular guy. He's, you know, has off the ice has been a big factor in Toronto's growth, but I don't see how you bring him back when you've intimated that Campbell is going to be the starter, and then you're going to support him however you're going to support him. So a really, really challenging situation in net for Toronto that has to be addressed in the next couple of days.
I brought up the name Yaroslav Halak, a guy who's used to sharing the job, a guy who probably won't make a lot of money. But does, in your opinion, Dave, does he have enough tread on the tire to be a viable option?
I didn't think so a few years ago, and yet he keeps proving that he does. He just does the job. And each year you say, well, you know, is that a good situation? And Rask does what he does. And just look at his, over the last 3 years, he's been really good, you know, in somewhat of a limited role, but not, you know, a couple of years ago, he split time with Tuukka Rask. And so I would say it does look like there's not enough tread in the tire, except he keeps telling us there is.
Now, looking at Gabriel Landeskog, with the Cale Makar signing, is that pretty much it for his time in Colorado?
It certainly looks like that. And I talked about breaking up the band before they'd even completed a song there in Colorado. And he seems to be the victim of the first contract expiring amongst that elite group of forwards. You know, had it been someone else, it would have been them. But a lot of the timing is just with contracts themselves. And he may not be able to be afforded in Colorado. And it's a shame because he's been there and he's had a great run and he's seen the team through some tough times. And he may not be there for the rewards that are at the end.
All right. Well, you guys are on the air tomorrow for Free Agency Frenzy at 11 o'clock, right? Doors open for your shopping pleasure at noon. Is that correct?
We certainly are. And James Duffy, he, the Ottawa native, will be front and center. It's one of his special days. So he'll be the star of the show tomorrow, as usual, JR.
Yeah, but I'll go back to the Dougie. You mentioned Dougie Hamilton going back to Carolina. You don't want that announced before the actual show because that means it's just a lot more stretching and a lot more fill, right?
James threatens every team every year when we come to air.
Save some stuff for the show. Absolutely. All right. Look forward
exactly.
to it. We'll talk to you for a preview of all of that tomorrow morning. Thanks for the time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Great. Have a good day.